Well, good evening. We have been having some technical problems this evening, I'm afraid. The PowerPoints were designed to be seamless, but there seemed to be a blank screen momentarily between each one of them. So they didn't flow quite as well as they should have done. And maybe the PowerPoints for this evening's sermon will also not flow quite as smoothly as was designed. It was a problem earlier on with one of the digital projectors, and we're using one of the older digital projectors, so that's part of the problem. Today is our Mission Sunday, the Sunday in the year when we focus on the missions that we support as a church here at Christ Church Virginia Water. And it's also Palm Sunday, the day when we remember the dramatic entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The first day of what was probably the most momentous week in the entire life of Jesus. And also, in effect, the first day of the most momentous week in the entire history of the world. It was a week that was begun with Jesus being feted by the crowds as he made his entry into Jerusalem. People throwing their cloaks onto the road, others spreading palm branches in front of him, and yet others going ahead and shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." It was a week that began in seeming triumph. But by the end of the week, Jesus had been placed on trial, he had been condemned, he'd been crucified, and was buried in a borrowed tomb. And although it must have appeared to those contemporaries as a week ending in total failure, as we know, and as we heard in our second reading, just 1 week after Jesus entered Jerusalem in seeming triumph, he returned to the earth in complete and utter triumph. The Apostle John described how he discovered the empty tomb and how the risen Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, who subsequently went to the disciples with the news that she had seen Jesus. Then, in John chapter 20, as we had read to us in verses 19 and 20, we read, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord." So here we have Jesus who has come, he's met with the disciples, he had been raised from the dead, he had triumphed over death, and in doing so had defeated sin and the power of Satan. And then, there in the upper room in which the disciples were gathered, he said these momentous words. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. I am sending you." Over the next 40 days, as Jesus met and taught the disciples, he would expand on what he meant by those words, "I am sending you." Matthew records him telling them, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, We usually focus on the instruction to go and make disciples. But Jesus continued his instructions to his disciples. He told them to go and make disciples, but to go and make disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. Jesus is telling his disciples that he is sending them to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them to obey everything he had commanded them. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't just say to them to teach them that Jesus was the Savior sent by God, but the instruction is to teach them to obey everything he had commanded them. And as Chris Wright reminded us this morning, that means building the church, serving society, and caring for creation. If you weren't here this morning, you missed something special. And if you weren't here this morning, I'd encourage you to go onto the website when it's loaded up tomorrow and actually listen to the sermon that we had here this morning from Chris Wright. This was the task that Jesus had given to his disciples. And we'll come back to that in a moment, because I just want to make the point that as well as this task to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything he had commanded them, Jesus also gives the disciples a geographical perspective as well. Here in this passage, Matthew records Jesus as saying to go and make disciples of all nations. While in Luke, in Acts, in a much more specific statement, he records that Jesus tells the disciples that they are to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus gives a very specific set of tasks. He gives a geographic compass, which is basically everywhere, and he also gives them a very specific instruction on how they should set about this task that he has given them. And we come back to John, who tells us that Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So what do these words, "As the Father has sent me," mean? Very early on in his ministry, Luke in chapter 4 says that Jesus said that he, that is God the Father, has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This is a very clear statement of why the Father sent Jesus. It's important to realize that the primary purpose that Jesus had was to preach good news to the poor. In fact, what we have listed here in Luke chapter 4 is not a list of separate activities, preaching to the poor, to prisoners, to blind, to the blind, to the oppressed. In Luke's gospel, the word poor is often a collective term for all those who are disadvantaged in any way. Jesus is saying that he came to preach the good news to the outsiders. And that meant not only the lepers, the tax collectors, and those categorized by the religious leaders of the day as sinners, but also those who are outside the covenant relationship that the Jewish people had with God. The Jews, as we know, believed that they were God's chosen people, and that everyone else needed to come to them to experience any relationship with God. Jesus is clearly stating that it is God's intention to break down the boundaries between those who saw themselves as God's chosen people and those who were outsiders. Jesus was saying that he was sent to bring the good news to all people. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He was sending the disciples to take the good news, the gospel, to all people, to all nations, to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them. And what methods does Jesus use to bring the good news to all people? We see what he does in our reading of the gospel writers. One way was the sharing of the gospel, bringing the good news of salvation and how to become in a right relationship with God to both Jews and to those who are outcasts from institutional Judaism. He engaged in preaching the gospel to crowds of people, such as at the Sermon on the Mount. He taught in the synagogues. He taught in homes, such as in the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And on other occasions, he simply shared with individuals, such as his encounter with Nicodemus, his discussion with the Samaritan woman, his conversation with the rich young ruler. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He was instructing the disciples to preach the gospel, to share the love of Jesus with individuals and with groups. And the Acts of the Apostles is full, bursting full of accounts of the disciples preaching the gospel to groups of people and to sharing with individuals. But Jesus just didn't preach to crowds or share with individuals. His message of the gospel was always accompanied by action. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He comforted the bereaved. He raised the dead. He showed compassion to the needy. He reached out to children. He supported his preaching of the gospel with acts of love and compassion. And interestingly, Jesus often performed acts of love and compassion without a corresponding call to repentance and faith. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He was encouraging the disciples to demonstrate God's love in acts of love and compassion. And we see the disciples doing just that. In Acts, we see Peter healing a crippled beggar at the temple gate in Jerusalem. We see Peter healing Aeneas in Lydda, and Paul making a collection to support the destitute Christians in Jerusalem. Jesus also spent 3 years with his disciples, teaching them what it meant to be a disciple so they could in turn disciple others, teaching them to pray. He sent them out on mission trips to preach and to heal. He poured his life into theirs, telling them stories to help them better understand the kingdom of God, helping them understand what it meant to be a servant leader through confronting the ambitions of John and James, washing the disciples' feet prior to the Last Supper, and cooking them breakfast when the disciples had been out in the boat all night in that period between his resurrection and ascension. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And in the Acts of the Apostles, in the letters that Paul, James, Peter, and John subsequently wrote, we see the disciples doing what they had seen Jesus do, training others, going out on missions to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and engaging in acts of compassion. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now, how does that relate to us today? What does this have to do with us, with you and with me? Do we see this statement of Jesus relating to us as a church, or relating to us as individuals? In what way are we obeying Jesus' encouragement to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, or his command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you? As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Individually, as members of this church, we can be witnesses of the gospel. We can share our faith with those we come into contact with. We can disciple others. We can teach those we disciple to obey everything that Jesus commanded. We can provide for the poor and the needy in our communities. And many of us are doing these things, or at least some of these things. Some of the members of this church volunteer with different ministries because they are responding to being sent to those ministries by Jesus. Members of this church serve on the boards of Biblica, of Compassion, of FIBA. Others volunteer with organizations such as the Runnymede Food Bank and BSUM. Others have sensed a call to full-time service and are working with a Christian organization. And at present we have members of the church working with Compassion, with DAI, with East to West, with Tear Fund. And a former student of ours, former student who worshipped with us, is working with UCCF. As a church community, we also provide financial resources through what we call our contingency fund. Over the past year, amongst other things, we twinned our toilets here at church with two school toilet blocks in Burundi. We supported our students on a mission trip to Moldova. We gave extra funds to Tear Fund in their efforts to help those in Sierra Leone hit by the Ebola outbreak. And we provided funds to the Runnymede Food Bank to improve their warehouse facilities. In fact, several members of the church regularly provide items of food for the food bank, and four of our members drive the food bank collection vans. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. These are some of the ways that we as a church, as individuals within the church, are responding to being sent by Jesus. Earlier in the service, we saw some brief overviews of the various ministries that we support regularly as a church. And these are also examples of how we as a church are being sent by Jesus. Supporting Tear Fund, which is working with the church in helping poor communities to help themselves through development work, health projects, providing help when disaster strikes, such as in the response to the recent cyclone which hit Vanuatu and with the Ebola outbreak. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. FIBA, reaching out to the sick, again through the Ebola project in Sierra Leone. Being a witness to the gospel in countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Reaching out to people who cannot be reached by the more traditional means of mission and evangelism. In the last week, Yemen has been on our television screens. FIBA is teaching Christian believers in that country what it means to worship and to behave in a Christ-like way. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Compassion, an Amos Street Child, working with disadvantaged children. Amos Street Child, specifically working with street kids in Burundi. Compassion, working with some of the poorest children in 26 different countries of the world, giving them hope for the present and for the future. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And not only in other parts of the world, but east to west, giving hope for the present and the future to children and young people in our own communities who are facing all kinds of challenges. Christian adults bringing a faith-based approach to confronting the problems and challenges which young people today are facing. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. CMS, working with the church in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, coming alongside the local church as it works in its community in ministry, evangelism, teaching, and in meeting the needs of the church where it is serving. For a number of years, we supported the work of Morris and Laura Connor, bringing clean water to the Sindh project, to the Sindh province of Pakistan. And more recently, supporting the work of Bim and Kylie Bahadur in their work with vulnerable and exploited women in India. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Christianity Explored in East Africa and DAI, both working with leaders. Christianity Explored helping leaders to be more effective in evangelism. DAI helping leaders be more effective in their ministries by giving them skills in running their churches and their organizations and being more servant-hearted in their relationships with their colleagues and their congregations. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Open Doors, coming alongside those who are being persecuted for their faith. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. UCCF, supporting Christian young people in our universities and colleges, helping to give them a stronger Christian foundation and skills to reach out to their student friends. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And Wycliffe, working to translate the Bible into the heart languages of the more than 300 million people who do not have access to the Bible in their own language, so that they can hear and respond to the good news that the gospel brings. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. I wonder whether Jesus has spoken to you today. Maybe this morning, if you were here, as you heard Chris write. Maybe as you saw the incredible work that each of our mission partners are doing. Maybe in the quietness of your own heart. Is Jesus sending you? It doesn't have to be to the far side of the world, but it might be. It might be simply a commitment to be more regular about providing food for the food bank. It might be to volunteer in some way locally. It might be to offer to help with the Sunday clubs, or the youth work, or the student work here at church. And if so, go and talk to Margaret or Paul, to Peter, or to Beth. But Jesus might be speaking to you about exploring how you could get involved in the work of one of our mission partners, or possibly in the work of a completely different mission organisation. It might be something that Jesus is calling you to long term, or possibly he wants to send you on a short term mission trip somewhere. And a short term mission trip is often a really good way of getting a feel for what ministry in another part of the world, or even another part of this country, might actually be like. Is Jesus speaking to you about long-term mission or about short-term mission? If he is, come and talk to me or to another member of the mission team here at church. And as a church, we do set aside funds each year to help support members of the church who Jesus is sending, whether it be short-term or long-term. If Jesus is speaking to you, talk to us about how we, as a church, might be able to help you explore a possible calling from Jesus. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Is that a personal invitation that you are receiving right now from Jesus? At this point, I want to pause and give each one of us a moment of silent prayer, engaging with Jesus, asking him if he is wanting to send you as he was sent by the Father. And if Jesus is speaking to you about ministry or mission, come and talk to Stephen or Simon or Peter or Beth or me after the service. As we close this evening, I want to share with you a video which we watched at First Wednesday at the beginning of this month. It's just one example among many of the impact which our mission partners are having around the world. This is Wycliffe working with the Jesus Film Project, Wycliffe had translated Luke's Gospel into the Gamo language, a language spoken by 4 million people in Ethiopia. This was the first time that these people had heard the Gospel in their language. And I hope you will be moved by this video, as I think all of us who saw it at First Wednesday were deeply impacted by it.
To go into an area to meet people who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ is sobering, but it's exciting to know that we're allowed to be ambassadors for Christ to those people. Ethiopia is a country with many, many people groups with different languages. There's one language group called the Gamo. Before a few years ago, they had never heard the story of Christ in their own language. Then the Jesus film was translated into their own language, and it made an incredible impact.
Morketas ikitegais. Intena itzedaitas.
Boy, seeing the Jesus film here in this country is just mind-blowing. For these people to see Jesus speak in their own Gamo tongue for the first time has got to be a great experience. And I was just awestruck by the number of people that were present. Probably we would guesstimate about 4,500 people came to the premiere, and we were just blown away by the number. Certainly much more than I had ever anticipated.
Nena ne amono ipatsides.
Tadelais!
We showed the Jesus film so these people could see the story of God visually in their own language.
They were so focused, they hardly moved. Their eyes were just glued to the screen.
When they see it and hear it firsthand in their heart language, right away the Holy Spirit starts to move and work in their lives.
It just takes your breath away to see the emotion that the people feel, but also the emotion that it brings out in my heart to see it for the first time in this environment.
The reason the Jesus film is so powerful is that it's the Word of God. And that's what transforms lives, especially when it's in the heart language of the people that are hearing it.
I just remember seeing some of the wailing and the children just sobbing and crying. And it just took my breath away. Just realizing what Jesus and the pain and the suffering that he did for us. It was just a little too much to bear.
To see the response was truly unbelievable. To see that they wasted no time initially. Once the first gentleman stepped out, it's as though they all came.
The feeling that they're experiencing, you feel it too. The impact of watching the gospel transform their lives is one of the most exciting things I've been able to experience. To witness that firsthand, such a blessing and a humbling experience at the same time that God has chosen to use you to take his message.